Welcome to the Sleon Productions podcast. I have a special guest today, Ralph Hollowell. He's the president and CEO of the Hollowell Company. He's an executive coach. He's a trainer and a keynote speaker for 25 years. And he's been a healthcare executive, very passionate about servant leadership. I heard him actually a couple of months ago from the Business Blast podcast with Tyler, and he blew me away. I mean, I'm like, probably because I'm all about leadership and I like to hear leadership talks and everything. But no further wait. We got Ralph Hollowell. Welcome to the Sleon Productions podcast.
Thank you. Glad to be a part.
So, Rob, can you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Absolutely. I'll try not to give you too much, but I was born in Paducah, Kentucky. I grew up in a family of five kids. I was the youngest of four boys. And then we adopted my younger sister, who's a couple of years younger than I am. I grew up in a full-service gas station. My dad owned a service station, and it was a family business. And he taught me the work ethic. He taught me not to cheat anybody out of a penny, but always to add value. And I have five kids of my own, ranging from age 28 to age 7. I'm married to my soulmate. We've been married now 11 years, and we have an absolutely amazing relationship. She is also the chief operating officer of the company. And I started my in healthcare as a social worker. I have a bachelor's degree in social work and then got my master's in health administration and was an executive for 25 years in healthcare. 17 of that was as a CEO and last as a market CEO, a market president over four hospitals. I'm very passionate about leadership and about servant leadership most specifically. And so after about 20 years, I decided to form my own company, and the dream has been inside me all this time, and I've been working towards that. So I'm glad to finally have my own company, the Hollowell Company, your path to servant leadership.
That's awesome that, you know, you started at a gas station and your dad really encouraged you, and to be honest, now you were saying you got into John Maxwell program. How'd you get into it?
Well, you know, I've been a fan of John Maxwell for many years. As a hospital CEO, I would bring people in to speak on leadership. And always after they spoke, I would give them a John Maxwell Leadership Bible as a token of my appreciation. So I've been a fan of his teaching for many, many years. So when it came time for me to start my own business around coaching and speaking, which, again, has been my goal, John Maxwell, and becoming a part of his team was just a natural fit for me.
And, you know, like with John Maxwell, he tracks, you know, a whole diverse group of people. I mean, he's mainly a Christian, and I know he tracks that audience, but he also attracts a secular crowd. What type of content?
You are absolutely.
Yeah. Hello?
That's the last part of your question, so let me answer it. Maybe I'll can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah, I can hear you. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I just got back in February from going to his big international conference. There were 2,500 people at this one, and it's the August event is even bigger. At my table, I think overall there were 81 countries represented. Just at my table of six, I think there were four different countries represented, and all different religions. So he started out as a pastor, but quickly understood that training other pastors in leadership skills was needed, and then began writing books so that he could expand his influence. And then what he found out was that the secular world, the business world, was reading his books more so, as was the churches and so on. So his publisher began to nudge him to start writing more of the business books, which he has done. But he is he's in virtually every country now and making such an impact.
And how did you start your business?
Well, again, I started 20 years ago. I had a vision of leadership. At that time, I was in Atlanta as a hospital COO, and my vision was to create a – I loved to kayak. That was my dream back then, was to be a big-time kayaker. And so I wanted to create a canoe and kayak training center in the North Georgia Mountains or in North Carolina and have whitewater rafting there and then bring people in, train them, but also – have a training center for executives to do team building and coaching and leadership skills, and then take people after that, put them in a raft, which I believe is the greatest metaphor of all for team building, put them out there and then let them see those skills in action. 20 years went by, lots of little kids and not enough risk-taking in me at that time. But as my career developed and I began to hone in on what my purpose and my passion was, again, it took me 20 years, but over the last 5 years, it's been my goal. Anytime somebody asked me to speak, it was not, well, let me look at my calendar, or what would you like for me to talk about? The answer was always yes. So I've been moving in this direction. I started my business in December. My wife told me, you're going to take the month of December off and spend time with family, which was something I very much needed. But I began to develop the company, all the legal framework behind it and the accounting side of things. And then I really got started in January, February, and March on training with the John Maxwell team. I'm also trained in the Marshall Goldsmith stakeholder-centered leadership or coaching model. So I went to New Jersey and was trained under Marshall Goldsmith as well. So wow. Created the company and off to the races.
Now with the Goldsmith program, what's the difference between them and John Maxwell?
You know, there it's a fairly significant difference. The John Maxwell team, in fact, when we were being trained as a coach with John Maxwell, I watched Christian Simpson, who's he is the guru for coaching under the John Maxwell. That's his lane. He taught a lady out of the crowd to juggle without ever showing her how to juggle by asking her questions. And so, really, the John Maxwell side of things from a coaching standpoint is really the client has all the answers and you ask good questions to draw it out of them. And there's not a, from that perspective, the same goes for the Marshall Goldsmith. Marshall Goldsmith is really more focused around involving your stakeholders. That might be your boss, it might be your spouse, it might be your employees, might be your other family members, but really it's taking somebody who has maybe reached a level and they need to go to the next level. And so uncovering and understanding what's holding them back and then really focusing on one or two different aspects of that to make a difference in their career.
Wow, it's pretty incredible. I think, you know, you always hear about, you know, leadership and everything, but a lot of these companies need, you know, coaching for that. You know, sometimes I see companies that are not in good shape leadership-wise. There's a missing piece, or there's a missing, like the communication line is not all there. Even with all this technology, you know, it's still not perfect.
Yeah, and sometimes that technology is absolutely the piece that's getting in the way. You can use technology, and it should be a tool for us. But if you lose that face to face, and that if all you do is send out emails from your desk and never understand who your employees are, never really become a servant leader. You know, that's what I talk about all the time. But you have to know your staff. You have to appreciate your staff in order to really move the organization where it needs to go.
You think it's tough for some leaders or bosses to tell, you know, like an employee, well, you're not doing this right. You think it's hard, you know, for them to, you know, to face it because I guess they're afraid they might talk, you know, behind your back or they won't like it.
I absolutely do. You know, we all come from different perspectives. You know, there's a number of personality trait tools out there. And each of us brings our own skill sets and our weaknesses with that and our styles. And so, you know, one of my heroes is a guy named George Manning. And George he's written the textbook for McGraw-Hill for over 20 years. In fact, I just have it over there. The newest edition is out, but he the Neapolitan world, and it breaks people down into being chocolate, vanilla, or strawberry. And so very quickly, because I know we don't have too much time, but you know, if someone is vanilla and I'm vanilla, I want everybody to sit around and sing Kumbaya. You know, I want to build consensus. Whereas a chocolate person, you know, they want They like rules and laws and structure. They like a lot of numbers and details. I don't. And so if I'm not giving them what they need, I may think, you know, I may be believing the golden rule, do unto others as you'd have done unto you, but I'm not giving them what they need. And so, you know, I do think that communication is absolutely critical. And when you've got someone who's not living up to the expectations, having those crucial accountability conversations, setting those expectations, and you don't have to break people down in telling them you're no good. It is let's go back through this. This is what we agreed on the front end that we would do, and most of the times that's the issue. We didn't agree on the front end what that's supposed to look like. So to answer your question in a long way, but I really do believe that it is about communication, and some people are really good at having those accountability conversations. My wife is an expert. That's really a weakness of mine, and I've had additional training to learn how to have those conversations to say, you know, you're really not living up to the expectations. What can I do to help you reach those?
How important is core values for a company or for your company or for anyone's company? It feels like some companies may not have that core values or hasn't been. Even Apple, Steve Jobs had core values. How important are they for a company structure?
They are absolutely critical, not just in a company, but for individuals. You know, I can pull out of my desk drawer as a CEO and say, here's my six values. I've taken the time to reflect, to understand who I am, and these are my values. And here are the I went one step beyond that and defined those as a person. So as a person, you need to understand to really get the most value for yourself. You know, life is so short, and the older I get, the more I realize that if you're living out your purpose and you stick with your values, your core values are the things that guide you in everything that you do. And so as a company, if you haven't taken the time to identify what those core values are, you know, the whirlwind of life and business is constantly wanting to knock you off course. And without those core values that have been identified, defined, talked about, shared with everyone else, then the waves and the wind will knock you off course pretty easily. If you stick to those core values, the wind is going to be there. The turbulence is going to be there, but you can stay the course because you know who you are and what your purpose is.
Yeah, it's very key. And, you know, most of the successful companies, I mean, they have to have core values. I mean, there's just no way to grow. But, you know, everyone is different a little bit. Sometimes there's things that are kind of distinct. What have you learned, you know, after doing this business for a couple of years that you didn't know before?
You know, probably I've been a mentor. That's what drove me as a CEO. I love that. I was so passionate about mentoring others to the next level. In fact, I've said for the last 5 years that my role as CEO is not to run hospitals. It's to develop people to be the best version of themselves. But what I've come to realize is that there's a huge difference between coaching and mentoring. So as a mentor, you're the expert. I'm the one with the 25 years of healthcare experience, and I've been there and I've done that. Let me help you along. As a coach, that's not your role. Your role is to be the mirror for your client and to help them uncover what their thoughts and issues are and reflect on that so that they can look inside themselves. You're not providing that to them. You're just helping them to uncover what's already inside them. So that's a big difference. And then on the flip side of that, you know, I've said that my role is to be a coach, to be a trainer, to be a speaker. Coaching or teaching and speaking are somewhat similar. You are the expert. You're in front of the room. You have all the answers. You're the one doing the majority of the talking. In the coaching world, it's the other way around. You're not to be the expert. You can use your expertise, but it's your client who does the majority of the talking. Your role is to ask the right questions to make them think about and reflect upon themselves.
Man, that's amazing. That, I mean, you say you were a speaker. How often do you speak? Because I think you, I mean, you must be great live.
I'm also a lead singer of a few bands in my life, and there's nothing more fun than being on stage and being able to look at the crowd and take them where you want to go vocally, you know, and feel the energy. And so being a speaker gives you some of that same things. You know, if you're speaking like myself, some people might be able to speak on anything, but I can't. If I'm passionate about something, you know, I can't help it just comes out. So I'd like to think that, you know, I'm certainly growing. I spoke to a group last week, as a matter of fact, last Tuesday, and one of the people who was in the crowd had been there, had seen me speak a few months prior to that, and she told me, she said, you are really gaining confidence and your skill set's really developing. So it's like anything else. If you're passionate about it, if you practice, if you work on it, you will get better. Nobody starts out as a great speaker initially. They have to develop those skills. John Maxwell didn't develop those. I mean, he didn't start that way. He had to develop it. So,
yeah, it's definitely, you know, public speaking is pretty, it's one of the scariest things for a human being to do. I mean, I love people, but public speaking, I heard if you could do it 100 times, you still get nervous.
Well, and it's the same thing, you know, with being a lead singer of a band. Every time I walked out on stage, that first few minutes or first few seconds, first song or two was terrifying. But once you get past that, then you realize, you know, the crowd wants you to be there. And they're not there. They're not going to throw things at you. At least they never did for me. And they want to hear from you. And once you get past just those general nerves, then you can have a lot of fun with it.
How is
– I always try, yeah. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead. Please finish. Your thought.
I always, you know, try to think I have something that I have within me that this crowd that I'm going to share with, this audience needs to have. And so if I focus on the audience and what their needs are and how I can be truly a servant leader to them, a lot of fear goes, you know, if I'm worried about what I'm going to say and running off a script, which I don't do. Yeah, I generally will write things out, what I want to say, and then I put that aside. I've got my thoughts in order, and then it's just, you know, I want to interact with the crowd. I want to see what they're doing and look at their expressions and go where they are and meet their needs.
Who is your favorite speaker?
John Maxwell's got to be up there. You know, one of my all-time favorites, who he's passed away now, was Jim Rohn. And he drove me crazy when I first heard him, but then I absolutely loved the man. Jim Rohn it was one. Zig Ziglar was one. And right now, probably John Maxwell is certainly up there with the best of them.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard Maxwell speak live, I think, at least 5 times. And, I mean, he blows me away. I mean, I believe he's the most that is has come out with content pertaining to leadership, I think. And He's just smooth. He's just smooth sailing when he talks.
He is.
And he, like, I mean, for me as a person, I'm a very ADD person. So, but like when he speaks, I pay attention, you know.
he has spoken so many times that it comes natural to him. But I promise you, well, maybe not. Maybe at this point in time, he's not, he didn't get jitters. But he feels the audience, you know, and he drives energy from the audience. So.
Yeah, and you know, like the other type of speaker that I think that really fills the audience are comedians. I think they have to figure out what joke they really have to kick in to make the audience, you know, just to break the ice.
Yeah. Well, you know, and John is a great storyteller, and that's what comedians do. They relate to the audience. They can tell stories, funny stories, that – it's funny because you can see it in yourself or you've seen someone else like that. And that's what does it. It's making that connection with your audience.
How has the internet changed your industry?
You know, I think it's made a huge difference. I was coaching yesterday. You know, face to face, eyeball to eyeball is critical, and nothing's going to take that away. But with the internet, just like you and I now, I can see your eyes. You can see mine. We can have dialogue. It's not the same as me sitting right next to you, but it's the next best thing. And so I can see your eyes. I can see if what I say resonates with you, or that if your eyes change direction, that you're thinking or you're creating something. And so from a coaching standpoint, that it cuts down on the expense of travel, and the time that we can spend together is much more valuable, certainly, than it would be over the phone.
I know this and, is – yeah, go ahead.
And the other thing is, you know, podcasts and blogs and the access to, you know, LinkedIn and Facebook and all those the social media platforms, you know, you can put your content out there very quickly, whereas historically you couldn't do that.
That's true. I think we have so much access or, you know, able to spit out content rather than, you know, for example, like television, there's 4 networks. Back in the day, just those 4 anchors gave the news, their opinion, and that's it. Now we have different avenues to spit
Absolutely.
Out, but now it's become a little bit overwhelming, in my opinion.
Yeah, no doubt. You have to really pick and choose.
Oh, big time select. If you had to give advice to someone right now, for leadership or any type of advice, what would you tell them?
You know, I think right now my word is intentional. And so I think if you are going to make a difference in virtually any part of your life, you have to be intentional about that. So, you know, I start my day every day in prayer and reflection and journaling about gratitude. I think if you start with gratitude, everything else then is so much better throughout the day. But intentional is where I am in my life right now. Everything that I want to do, I want to be intentional about that. So
that's beautiful.
I guess that would be the word.
I agree about gratitude. I think gratitude makes a big difference in people's lives, attitudes, your day. I mean, I've seen ungrateful people and they're just miserable, stressed, sick. It's not good. But if you have gratitude, thank God and realize where you at today. What is your favorite business book?
You know, I mentioned earlier that I gave out the John Maxwell Leadership Bible. So all time, obviously the Bible, but the John Maxwell Leadership Bible probably is number one, just because it is packed full of, he really pulls those lessons out of the Bible and talks about them from a leadership perspective. But the most recent book that I've read that really had an impact is The Four Disciplines of Execution. I've been involved with Lean for Healthcare through the team at Auburn University. And I really think Stephen Covey and his co-authors have really synthesized that into something that is streamlined. Their takeaways from everything. If you could deploy the techniques in that book every single day, your life would be better. Your business would be better. Your life would be better if you can do that. So The Four Disciplines of Execution, I think, is a fantastic book.
That book sounds intriguing to read. I think a lot of people have issues with executing their idea or their business, and it's tough for some people. I mean, they have, you know, have ideas, dreams, but the execution, that's like the missing ingredient. Everyone has ideas, you know, but yeah. Most ideas
you know,
are.
I don't know if you know, this guy's a hero of mine. A hero of mine, he has no idea who I am. It was a guy named Brian Johnson. So if you haven't been turned on to Brian Johnson, Philosopher's Notes. Okay, if you put in Brian Johnson, you'll get the lead singer of AC/DC, so you got to be sure you put Philosopher's Notes. But Brian reads the greatest books and business books out there, and then he will give you his top five big ideas in a quick podcast. And that's where I first heard about The Four Disciplines of Execution. Then I went out and purchased the book. Fantastic book.
Wow. I'll definitely get Amazon it and hopefully read it. I've been reading more entrepreneur books. That's probably the only books that I like to read besides the Bible. Ready for some random questions?
Absolutely.
Are you a dog or cat person?
I'm a dog person.
Red or blue?
Blue. Go Cats. That would be Kentucky Wildcats.
What's the worst pet to have?
What's the worst pet?
Yeah. Worst pet.
You know, I don't have any pets just because I travel so much. And with five kids, I don't need any additional responsibilities. I'm not a cat person, so I would have to say it's a cat.
And how do you have your pancakes?
Well, I'm diabetic, so I usually don't have pancakes. But if I do, it's, you know, I like to have waffles with peanut butter on the waffle. How's that?
Oh, I love peanut butter and a waffle. That is solid. And Rob, how can people reach you?
Probably the best way is LinkedIn right now. I'm on LinkedIn a lot. You can go to my Twitter page, the Followell Company homepage, or you can email me, rob.followell@gmail.com. But probably LinkedIn is probably the best way.
Rob, you are the man. You are, man, I think, you know, big things are going to happen. Do you have any closing words?
Yeah, we started off by talking about being grateful. I think if everybody starts their day being grateful, life is just better. And, you know, I would encourage everyone, because I've had now 5 months or so to step back away from a busy career that was, you know, nonstop, to really examine life, to focus, to read, to think, and reflect. Reflection is really the key. I had a great opportunity, and I would encourage everybody to do this. Look back over your life, write it out by decades, and put the key moments of your life on paper. And then go back and really reflect on those. Reflect on the people that made an impact to you.
Wow, that is...
And reach out to them and say thank you. A few months ago, I called my fifth grade teacher, Mrs. Peck, who made such a difference in my life. She was there at a time when my older brother was critically injured in a car accident, and really she took me under her wing and really got me energized for science. And so I was able to call her and tell her thank you. I promise that did more for me than it did for her. But look back, take risks, stretch yourself, reflect on where you are and who you are and what you want to be. And don't be afraid of failure. Failure is a part of life. But if you don't stretch, you'll never accomplish the things that you want to. You know, Michael Jordan said that on 26 different occasions, he was entrusted to take the game-winning shot and missed. But that didn't keep him from taking a shot. He was the one, give me the ball, coach, because he knew in himself he had the best chance to make the shot. So reflect on things, continue to grow. Life is about growing and taking. Have fun. Life is too short, so tell people that you know and that you love. Make sure you tell them today that you love them, because there may not be another day. It may not be a tomorrow, so make sure you do it today. You will be better off for doing that.
Rob, thank you very much. That is very encouraging, and thank you for coming on to the Sleon Productions podcast.
It's my pleasure. Thank you very much.